cool the silence when we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence that can't go on.
Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 14th of May 2009. As always, newcomers coming into the show, so I advise you to go into cuttingthroughthematrix.com website and listen to your choice of topics and talks that I've given over the years where I try to give you shortcuts to the big picture of the system in which you live. And I try to show you from the writings of the big players themselves how they planned the future. This is now the future. We're here. We've arrived at it. And they've already planned the next 100 years. This is the century of change, as they call it. And they plan to reorganize all of society, restructure it all according to economic means. In other words, your value to the system, etc. And it's an ongoing process. This is the never-ending story, the real one. Because man is the clay, they're the potters, and they keep reshaping us another into DNA and all the rest of it. And they truly do have their ideas out there in the general mainstream, and they're not simply guessing at where they're going. They're planning it and making it happen. They implement that which they initially plan. They make sure it's always implemented. Also look into alanwattsentinel.eu for transcripts of these talks, which you can download for print up, written in the various languages of Europe. And, as always, I can tell people who listen to this show, there's thousands of people out there, you can help keep me going by using PayPal for contributions, for donations, or for purchasing the books on cuttingthroughmatrix.com, the discs, etc. That does keep me going, and it is expensive. And I'll tell you, too, those people who are doing and saying the right things, going a bit further than the rest, are under cyber warfare attack because computers do crash all the time. That isn't normal. And I have all the articles from the mainstream papers where they say they're actually doing it. And I've put articles in the archive section at cuttingthroughmatrix.com to prove it as well. They're actually doing it. If you're just talking about the usual stuff and getting back to what you think is normal or some previous time when things seem to be happier, which is generally your imagination, they'll leave you alone. But if you're actually telling people what's really happening as it happens and what's coming along the pike, you will be attacked by them. That's why they were set up. You can also send personal checks from the US or Canada to this address if you don't listen to the show on the computer, but you get this burned and passed around. You can write to me at Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is Estaire, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code is P as in Peter, 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N as in Nora, 1. And we are really, really so far into this New World Order agenda, something that's been repeated to the public many times but never explained. It's never explained by the press because they know not to explain it to you. They're all part of it. They all belong to the CFR, the big Fabian globalist society that's helped bring it into being. In fact, many of the journalists for Canada and the States helped work on the plans for the integration for the Americas that came out on national television in Canada when the ex-vice prime minister, the assistant prime minister, came out on behalf of the Council on Foreign Relations and proudly stated that he and his cohorts had drafted up the very treaties that the President of the U.S. and the Prime Minister of Canada and Mexico were signing in 2005, and that they drafted up all the other ones. They go down to 2010 when it's complete amalgamation. We'll be back with more after these messages.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix. Someone asked me the other day if I thought that people were waking up. And what they really tell me is that people around them are getting edgy. Well, that's not waking up. You see, the difference between waking up to reality, it takes a bit of study, too, to find out what's going on. The difference between that and reacting. Reacting to the media, and the media is keeping people in a constant state of crisis, one crisis after another, most of them bogus. And they also know they're losing jobs, they're losing homes. They know that the economy is pretty well sunk, and they know that no one at the top is telling them that it's going to get any better. That's not waking up. That's reacting to what's happening around them. They have no idea, really, what's really going on. None at all. And that's why it's so important to go into the histories of the big organizations going back at least into the 1800s that manifested themselves then openly as foundations, philanthropic foundations, backed and funded actually and set up on behalf of the international bankers and the big industrialists to create an alternative to democracy. On the one hand, you have democracy as you think it is, where you're supplied with people to vote for. And they're all vetted, of course, by the right people, always, before you even hear their names. And then there's the parallel government that they talked about to the Club of Rome. And Margaret Thatcher talks about the real government, the one that can get the jobs done without people squabbling from different parties and different sides and so on. That's the real government, and they take their marching orders from the big foundations who set up the groundwork for the integration of our planetary system. Not a happy land where we'll all be chocolate colour people by the score, as his old song went, but rather a society where you have societal planning as opposed to just family planning. There'll be no families left anyway, so you'll have societal planning where you will be selected or refused for breeding purposes. And then that's only one step of it. They already have that planned up to 2050. And after that, there's going to clone what they want. They have the technology to do it. Better servants. We are the unfortunate generation that happened to be alive at the moment when we're going through the big change. As Mr. Rockefeller said at a World Bank meeting, he says you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. Then he said this generation will be the cannon fodder for the agenda. So tough cheese to us all, apparently. And that's why the governments on cue, all together at the same time, came out on 2001 to kick off the century. Remember, it really starts in 2001. And 9/11 was the planned event, and they all went into action with a pre-planned program, which had to have taken years of networking between countries and officials and bureaucrats to get on the board and ready to go like that. It was already set up. It was the must-be happening to put it all into effect, because the public must always accept any kind of tyranny as long as there's a small piece of plausibility in the story you're given for your rights being taken away from you. Very simple. I've got quote after quote from guys in the past who said the same thing. Eugenicists, of course, set up the big foundations. They all were on board with eugenics. The same foundations funded the Soviet system and the Nazi system. The same foundations and their owners were part of the IG Farben group for Nazi Germany that created the war machine. There would be no war machine if it hadn't been for IG Farben and the Western banks that they all owned. But eugenics is at the top of the tree, because the ones at the top truly believe that people evolve down through the ages, evolution rules, and they are at the top of the evolutionary tree, and everyone else is simply left over and obsolete from a previous age, doing things the old-fashioned ways. and that has to come to a stop, they tell us. That's why you hear about global sustainability and food sustainability and all the other sustainabilities that are dreamed up at the top as all propaganda to make sure that you feel guilty about breathing and being alive. And you'll be a better slave because you truly will be brainwashed into thinking, I better cough up to get rid of all these carbon footprints that are all over the place. That's what it's all about. And the Club of Rome, again, the big think tank that sits and dreams up scams for the future, admitted that in their own book, The First Global Revolution. But they dreamed up the idea after looking at all kinds of ways to unite the planet in a common war against something. It's the only time we come together and sacrifice would be if man was at war with the planet. If man was the enemy, it said global warming and man the enemy, that would fit the bill in their own book. That was then passed on to all the other institutions and magazines, TV documentaries, etc., to get it across to the people until we start parroting the same nonsense. Very simple technique. And they've come out in the open so brazenly now. So many of them, right after that population conference, population trust, ultimate population they call it, they have branches all over the planet. Again, it's a foundation funded by the other big foundations, as most of them are. They're all funded by the five main foundations, but they have 1,000 of them out there. They're fronts for every aspect of society. And the Optimum Population Trust just did an article there, I think, on the BBC. I don't know if it's available here yet, but their new hero, David Attenborough, being the spokesman for the need to bring down drastically the number of, you know, useless eaters, those at the top. I mean, those at the bottom that simply can't pay their way, then shouldn't be here. And plus, there's a plethora of articles appearing at the same time, not by chance, to do these things in a coordinated fashion, because we have to see something or we hear something 8 times, according to the marketers, before it sinks into our heads, and we start to parrot it too. Therefore, you have the same bunch of articles from across all over from different people. Middle-class children have better genes, says former school's chief, and we just have to accept it. And that there is from the Mail Online, 13th of May. Middle-class children are more likely to be clever than those from poorer families because they have better genes, said former Ofsted chief Chris Woodhead yesterday. The comments caused an immediate storm with critics calling them insulting and crazy. However, Mr. Woodhead won support in some quarters, including the backing of an evolutionary psychologist. Evolutionary psychologist, I guess if he had spent time with the apes first, his cousins, who said research has shown there was a link between class and average IQ. He suggested that grammar school pupils, that's the ones in Britain, that are private schools, were more likely to be middle class because the genes are likely to be better if your parents are teachers, academics, lawyers, whatever, and the nurture is likely to be better. Well, one thing's for true, there'll be less stress there because there's more money in the home. The worst cause for stress in the home is lack of money, as they well know, of course. But he's this eugenicist who was in charge of schools for Britain, coming out with his own opinion, which isn't his at all. He'll belong to one of his big groups like the Optimum Population Trust. In an interview with The Guardian, he argued that Labour had betrayed a generation by refusing to accept that some children were not suited to formal secondary education. The government had tried to make education accessible rather than rigorous, he said. Ministers should accept that some youngsters are simply not very bright and allow them to pursue a practical training instead of forcing them into the classroom. He says, I've taught and I can still remember trying to interest children who had no interest whatsoever in English, he said. They didn't want to be in the classroom. If I'm honest, I didn't want them to be there either because they were disruptive to children who did want to learn. What was the point? But political scientist Alan Ryan, who is the warden of New College, Oxford, criticised Mr. Woodhead's views on genes as garbage. All the evidence is that initial genetic endowment is pretty much random across social classes and everything depends on nurturing an environment, he said. And that's a fact. But say, if you have poverty, you're not going to have a happy home at all. And the children will be upset by arguing over money and all the rest of it. Common sense. The Department for Children, Schools and Families also rejected Mr. Woodhead's arguments. We don't accept the inevitability of people's socio-economic backgrounds shaping their attainment and their futures. A spokesman said, well, I disagree with that. I think wherever class you're born in absolutely shapes your future. It's who you know in the system, always was. Always was. Just however, there was support from Dr. Bruce Charlton, an expert in evolutionary psychiatry. Do you know there was evolutionary psychiatry? Another, a new one, eh? Evolutionary psychiatry. From Newcastle University. Chris Woodhead is basically correct, and there's nothing new about it, he said. Dr. Charlton insisted that intelligence was mostly inherited, adding that family background and education probably makes a small difference, but nothing like as much as people think. So everything is coming out in the open now with the elitists, you see. There's nothing much hidden. Why should there be? Because, you see, they know their bosses are in charge now and on a roll. That's what the whole New World Order is about. Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells, all the people who were pushing the stuff for the League of Nations to be set up, then the United Nations to be set up, were all eugenicists. Mightily so. Mightily so. Here's an article here from the UK column. Very interesting. It's a British newspaper someone sent me. It says, welcome to Gordon Brown's New World Order. And after all, that's a term that Brown used at the big money summit, the New World Order. It says, a New World Order financial beast is emerging as anti-British Fabian MPs destroy Britain from within. We're faced with a new battle for Britain. It's an interesting article because now they're talking about asking the troops to fire on British people in the streets. Back with more on this after this break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watts, we're cutting through the matrix. Reading an article from the UK column, from the newspaper, May 2009 edition. And you'll find them also at the website, thebcgroup.org.uk. thebcgroup.org.uk. And the reason I'm reading this is because Britain, you see, was a prototype for the setting up of a world empire. That's in the Charter of the United Nations. That's what they said they'd copy. And I've gone into the histories of the Cecil Rhodes Foundation that joined with Milner and became the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and that was their intention. But they also wanted to bring the United States into it, and that's why, with the total amalgamation of the Americas going on, we'll now then also to amalgamate with Europe, the European Union. And the Prime Minister of Canada has advocated that. Nothing happens by chance. So this is the big Fabian world system where the eugenicists and those who know how we should live will be ruling our lives for us. They already are, actually. It's just it's not completely out in the open to everyone at the same time at once. But certain families are getting hit here and there with their children getting snatched from them and all the rest of it by authorities. They've found out. These are the same boys, remember, for this New World Order that want one child per family, at least for a few years before they go into permission only, before you can even have one. But it says here, the New World Order financial beast is emerging, the anti-British Fabian MPs destroy Britain from within, which was the plan, that they said they'd infiltrate everything from within. They call it lawful takeover of government, because they did it through wiling themselves in and having masses of money to push their candidates in through various guises, through different parties and names and so on, just to get into power. It's been achieved worldwide. Worldwide. So where I talk about Britain is coming everywhere else very quickly, because Britain is the prototype everyone else must copy. It says here that the members of parliament think they can do as they please. They can lie, cheat, steal, engage in corruption, snatch our children, deny justice, bail out fraudulent banksters, buy pornographic films with public money. That's Jackie Smith, of course, head of Homeland Security, and even have sex with their moles in parliament. Now they want a £40,000 per year pay increase. And they're asking British squaddies are the troops of private soldiers, they're asking British troops if they will shoot at British people in British streets. Is this an accident? Certainly not. This is a common purpose elite now working to destroy Britain and replace it with the post-democratic society. That's a term that's been used by the Fabian Society, the Club of Rome, and all the rest of it. Remember, the Club of Rome said they did not favour democracy. It was too cumbersome, too many conflicting parties. There would never be peace with them. So they talk about the post-democratic society where you're ruled, plain and simple, by government authorities. This is from CCTV cameras on the streets and the pubs to fingerprinting of children and government permission to travel abroad. Yep, you need permission now to get out of the country. The evidence is growing that our criminal political elite in Westminster is herding us into a vicious police state. The fact that Brown has recently authorised 50,000 officials to spy on friends, families and young children are programmed to spy on their parents, which should send a shudder down the spine of every decent man and woman in Britain. This is the creation of the British equivalent of the East German Stasi. These are the people who will be duped into creating Brown's new dictatorship, this so-called New World Order. Where is it heading? Chaos and violence on the streets, and then a massive clampdown to lock us into the post-democratic state. That's exactly how it's been planned. Even sources within the military are now blowing the whistle on government questionnaires, asking troops if they were prepared to fire on their own people on the streets of Britain. Bolshevik Russia or Nazi Germany, it matters not. The same tactics of revolutionary change are being used. Destroy the country's institutions, create chaos and foment violence on the streets, then the state clamp down. And that's obviously what's going to happen, because that's what the military's own think tanks have said is going to happen. Ongoing riots for 30 years. Quite something, eh? And most people are oblivious to what's even going on. They're reacting, but they're oblivious to what's going on and why it's going on. And it's interesting, too, in this paper here, because I mentioned of how the elite, you see, the elite establishment of Britain, and every country's got an establishment, very old families, very wealthy, they tell politicians what to do, and they're obeyed immediately. In Britain, they're often related to royalty. There are thousands of them related to royalty and the aristocracy. I went through a few days ago about the Cray brothers and the British lords that were involved in a paedophile homosexual ring, and how the British Home Office, in charge of all British laws and security, were told to back off. Not by Parliament, but by the establishment, the ones who really rule the country. And the Home Office did back off. And they whited out all the names of the living peers or lords that are still involved in these terms and sexual perversions. And this article and this paper ties right in with that. So I'll be back with more after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm Alan Watts, and we're cutting through the matrix. You know, studying history is quite something, because you go down through the people who are called great down through history, like Alexander the Great, the man who slaughtered his way across through Egypt and Babylon and all the way apparently to the outskirts of India. And you find out he was a true perverted character who got off in slaughtering people. And he was into lots of kind of sexual deviations, etc. But you understand that's the way of the power mongers, because it's a sadomasochistic world they live in, of domination. They get off on this. And if they weren't doing that, they'd be raping someone at the lower end of the scale and maybe getting caught at it. If you're born into these powerful families, regardless of the era and time has gone by or the present, you're protected. Because those at the top, especially aristocracy, will close ranks to protect their own, regardless of what they've done. That's always been the case. That's what Britain did when the lords involved, let's say, in the Cray cover-up, were threatened really by having it all exposed in the press, especially the other lords that didn't have their names so far mentioned in the press. They've classified those names for another 50 years, so they don't know. Even though they know they're guilty of what they did. And it's the same in every country. The deviants all down through history live in a sadomasochistic world of power. Power, power. We can't imagine that, having that need for power and domination over others. We can't even go near the psychopathic mindset of them. Those are the same types explained in the book Ponerology that I've read on the air about the psychopathic mind that always go into politics and claw their way up. They have no conscience. They lust for power and what it brings them. And once they're in power, they flaunt it by doing the sort of thing that this British article mentions, the UK column. On page 6 of May's edition, it says, it's a fact that the Labour government suppressed the release of the police operation Orlist, which was known to have identified paedophiles within the government, judiciary, the police, the clergy, civil service and private sector. It must be of great concern to the UK public that senior members of the Labour cabinet are now shown by the Daily Telegraph in their article dated 9th of March 2009 to have been linked to an organisation promoting a relaxation in the laws governing child pornography. Politicians want to do away with the laws on paedophilia. They're now called intergenerational sex. And it doesn't surprise me, because I understand the types who claw their way up into power. They've always been that way. And I mentioned too, in 2001, before 9/11 went off, they had an international meeting of censors organizations from every country. We thought the censors committees were there to make sure that nothing too out there got on television or radio to shock the public. How wrong we were, because we live in doublespeak. The job of the censors is to keep their pulse on the people to see if they're ready to get pushed for the next envelope getting pushed. That's their job. And they said, after that meeting, they'd won the rights to push homosexuals on TV and radio by the organized blitzes that they had. But then two professors stood up, one in Canada, one in the States, and read identical articles stating that the next war would be for bestiality, the right for bestiality, and intergenerational sex. And here it comes. It's been pushed by politicians at the top. It says researchers for the UK column are also finding worrying evidence linking therapy, listen to this, and child caressing within the confines of Labour's new academy schools. For therapy, we assume neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, which is new speak for hypnotherapy. For caressing, we mean project caressing. That's about project caressing. See articles page 13 and 16. Should children be subjected to hypnosis and caressing by adults? New Labour will have started to install a frightening possibility in the nation's schools. They want to do this in schools to the children, by the way. They say it'll calm them down. Bringing these specially trained, supposedly, caressers. It says here, in the background, other European Union countries with Germany at the forefront have already started calling for paedophilia to be made lawful. Could it be that alongside various promotions of the benefits of homosexuality to young children, Hidden Hands in Westminster are also working to make paedophilia acceptable in the UK? Well, you're spot on, because that is the agenda. That is the agenda. Everything that was considered normal has to be destroyed under the Fabian Charter. Everything that was, to bring in the new world, everything that was must be destroyed. The first thing was a massive attack on family units. The second was the total obliteration of all religions who claimed that they had a right, the truth of a deity or whatever, the truth. If you said, well, everyone's got the same, different versions of the same truth, you're okay. But if you claimed to have special truth, they were your enemy and you would be flattened. And that has happened too. This is warfare, you understand. Planned, deliberate, ongoing warfare. And this article too goes on and on and on about paedophile information exchange and so on, and all the politicians who are pushing for it. And it says, it's interesting here, that one of the organizations that push it, many of them you would never think were involved in it, Liberty Knee, NCCL, was originally started in 1934 by Ronald Kidd, who was angered by brutal police attacks and protesters. His organization later included such figures as E.M. Forster as its president and Clement Attlee, and Euron Bevan, Havelock Ellis, Aldous Huxley, the man who had to cut up people and study them, and who said they'd bring in a new world order through UNESCO. J.P. Priestley, Bertrand Russell, oh no kidding, and H.G. Wells amongst his vice presidents. Did you know they were actually pushing for new laws on sexuality and perhaps pedophilia as well? Well, look into the other articles about H.G. Wells, for instance. He signed special contracts with his wives to make sure they wouldn't blow all the weird stuff and kinky stuff they have to do for him to keep happy. These are the kinds of people who get up into power because it goes hand in glove with the psychopathic personality. And only those type go into politics. That's the reality of it. And everyone in the US forgets about all their scandals as well when Clinton was in. And tours of the White House and overnight sleeps by different stars, etc. They forget of the Washington Times article, which I'll put up here on my website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, at the end of the show, Thursday, June 29th, 1989. Homosexual prostitution inquiry ensnares VIPs with Reagan and Bush. Callboys took midnight tour of the White House. A homosexual prostitution ring is under investigation by federal and district authorities and includes amongst its clients key officials of the Reagan and Bush administration, military officers, congressional aides, and U.S. and foreign businessmen with close and social ties to Washington's political elite. Documents obtained by the Washington Times reveal one of the ring's high-profile clients was so well connected, in fact, that he could arrange a middle-of-the-night tour of the White House for his friends on Sunday, July the 3rd of last year. Among the six persons on the extraordinary 1 a.m. tour were two male prostitutes. Federal authorities, including the Secret Service, are investigating criminal aspects of the ring and have told male prostitutes and their homosexual clients that a grand jury will deliberate over the evidence throughout the summer. The Times learned. It was a well-organized ring. I'll bet it wasn't the first time it was there either. This is the reality of those who seek power and how they flaunt it and how they laugh and laugh and laugh at what they see as the inferiors. Remember, a sadomasochist will worship the person above him who has more power than them. And they will utterly despise all those down beneath them as being submissive. That's the nature of the beast. Simple as that. But yeah, they're going after your children, all right. That was the next buyer, they said at that census meeting. The census boards are owned by the government. And they all said that that was their next milestone, bestiality and intergenerational sex. They said it was all right if the child wasn't hurt. They said the same thing about the animal, by the way. It was all right if the animal wasn't hurt in the process. Do you know that the squads of people from Europe and America going over to places like Norway where they can actually breed animals to have sex with? Because it's legal there. Do any of you know the kind of world you're living in? That these are your great and wonderful leaders. Remember what Plato said. There's no such thing. At the end of his long dialogue through virtue land, he's talking about how to put on a facade to the public who will fall for it. He said eventually there's no such thing as virtue. There's only the appearance of virtue. And they give us the appearance of it, don't they? As they kiss babies at election times and say all the right things that you expect them to say. But you watch them go. Once they're in, you watch them go. And you'll never know who they really are because there's not a bit about them from any magazine, interview or anything that isn't prearranged as public relations. You'll never know who they really are, these particular people. Power has always been corrupt at the top. It's the nature of the beast. The getting just rich isn't enough for these people. They want power. They want people to kowtow to them and bow to them because they're technically the sadists. Sadists. I talked before about how they would be under warfare by so many different directions our whole lives long. I've gone through the disappearing male with the sperm count plummeting, and there's no crisis about it. Why not? Because it's planned that way. If it was outside their plan, it would be a crisis. They like to be in charge of what's going on. Believe you me. And the biosphenols in the plastics were added to can liners. Even used biosphenols and xenoestrogens to flush out baby bottles, supposedly sterilize them, and left a good quantity there just for the babies to soak up. But they also put it in women's cosmetics as well, knowing that the effect would be on the fetus of the male child between 8 weeks and 12 weeks. We see the effects today. They're quite evident. Even on the skeletal system of the male, that alone. That's not good enough, because the plastic industries are hitting back, you see. What are they doing? Well, they're taking things that people will suck on that are plastic, through habit or whatever, and adding flavors to them, just to make sure you have a good flavor with your xenoestrogen. This is from PlasticsToToday.com. Plastic applications requiring custom taste and scent enhancements can look to a new alliance between compounder A. Shulman Incorporated, Akron, Ohio, and Add the Flavor LLC, New York, two companies, which hopes to commercialize its Polyflav product as a master batch or additive. This is Chuck Hampton, a human North American master batch business manager, sees a variety of end markets for the technology, telling Plastics Today, we envisage applications in virtually any plastic part that may come in contact with the mouth. Items such as mouth guards, toothbrushes, flossing devices, water bottle spouts, etc. have been discussed. A. Shulman will add to them to his polybatch line of specialty additive master batches. They come in two series, S and O, with both reported to provide long-lasting flavor. Isn't that wonderful? S offers a strong scent with a subtle taste, according to A. Shulman, while O, or optimized series, provides both strong scent and taste. I tell you, the children will love this stuff, won't they? Hampton said that materials are FDA recognized. Well, of course, because the FDA is all part of this big agenda. Have been from the beginning. and several customers are in sampling and scale-up. So there you are. Not cutting back on plastics. No, they're going to give them flavors, so you'll enjoy sucking on them all the more. Quite something, eh? Quite something. It really does make you wonder. It really does make you wonder if people really know what's really going on. Brzezinski's been such a busy technocrat his whole life in geopolitics, helping start up wars. He was the first guy in to stir up those in Afghanistan to get the Soviets to invade them and bog them down in their Vietnam War. That was his idea. He admitted that in an interview on television. He didn't care about thousands getting killed and slaughtered. That wasn't relevant. Psychopath, you see. But he says here in his book, Between Two Ages, remember he was the former National Security Advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski. He says, technology will make available to the leaders of major nations. In 1970, this book was written, techniques for conducting secret warfare, of which only a bare minimum of security forces need be appraised. Techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm. And that's what he did. They did that, you see, during the 80s and 90s and put most of the farmers in Canada and the West and the breadbasket of the US out of business and inking the big agribusinesses and lo and behold, that nice weather. Wonderful, isn't it? Zbigniew Brzezinski is also the former National Security Advisor and co-founder of the Trilateral Commission, with David Rockefeller serving as the director from 73 to 76. Here's what he said from his book, Between Two Ages, page 57. He's talking about a system that we're going to bring in, a system that would seriously impair the brain performance of very large populations. In addition, future developments may well include animated, automated or manned space warships, DCC installations, chemical or biological weapons, death rays, and still other forms of warfare. Even the weather may be tampered with. Back with more after this break.
This is RVN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, folks. I am Alan Watts. We're cutting through the matrix. Just finishing off with some quotes from some of the big players, those who did crave power and did get it, the technocrats, those with the real power. As Professor Carroll quickly said, the real power behind the scenes, they're not answerable to the public, and they work for the parallel government, getting things done. Getting things done. They never retire. And this is from Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, written in 1970. He said here, in addition, it may be possible and tempting to exploit for strategic political purposes the fruits of research on the brain and on human behavior. It says Gordon J.F. MacDonald, a geophysicist specializing in problems of warfare, has written that timed artificially excited electronic strokes could lead to a pattern of oscillations that produce relatively high power levels over certain regions of the Earth. In this way, one could develop a system that would seriously impair the brain performance of very large populations in selected regions over an extended period. No matter how deeply disturbing the thought of using the environment to manipulate behavior for national advantages to some, the technology permitting such use will very probably develop within the next few decades. Well, you see, when he wrote that, it was already under development. And today, it's working. It's being used. It is being used. He also said, in a footnote on page 57, techniques for conducting secret warfare. It says, as one specialist noted, by the year 2018, technology will make available to leaders of the major nations a variety of techniques for conducting secret warfare, of which only a bare minimum of the security forces need be appraised. One nation may attack a competitor covertly by bacterial means, thoroughly weakening the population, though with a minimum of fatalities, before taking over with its own armed forces. Alternatively, techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm. So these characters really have been going on forever. Here's what else Brzezinski says. The technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Well, that's your cameras, that's the towers going up that pulse your brains and all the rest of it. It says, such a society would be dominated by an elite, unrestrained by traditional values. In other words, nothing to do with democracy. This is post-democracy. That's what you're in right now. Soon it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities. The authorities. Quite something, eh? Quite something. You know, when Brzezinski was asked about, because he did stir up the whole Afghan, helped create the whole mess in Afghanistan, to create a Vietnam for the Soviets to come into and get bogged down in. And when he was asked if he thought it was worth it, or felt guilty about having done so, he denied it. He says, no, regret what? That secret operation was an excellent idea. It drew them in, it trapped them. He says, you want me to regret it? The day that the Soviets officially crossed the borders, he says, so what? He says, if it stirred up and caused a few Muslims to be killed, so what? He says, so what? That's the monsters who are running this world, and we're the next Muslims, believe you me, when they're finished over there. From Hainish, myself, from Ontario, Canada, it's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.